Hey guys, welcome to the Eric McNeil Be Free Show. 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 Okay, so that's my intro. They say you need an intro. So I decided that I wasn't going to spend a lot of money on an intro. I was just going to come up with something and create an intro. So this is the Eric McNeil Be Free Show. And if you followed me on other platforms, you know that I believe that being free is an acronym for financial independence, responsible for self, enjoying life, and empowering others. So that's what I seek to do, is live my life where I'm financially independent and I'm responsible for self. And responsible for self is just another way of saying that I'm self-sufficient. I don't believe in depending on all these government and these entities. I just want to be left alone, right? I can take care of my own self. And I want to enjoy my life. And along the way, I want to help empower others if I'm able to do so. And when I talk about being financially independent, it doesn't mean that, hey, I just got damn Jay-Z money and just stacked up and I can go fly Grant Cardone style on jets and planes and things like that. And I'm Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos. This means that I can get by on my own accord. I don't need to depend on somebody else's job or this or whatnot. And I can make my own way. So I've been asked to start a channel. It's been a while back. Some of you may have seen me on my friend's channel, John and Sophia of Native Born. They came out to the house a long time ago and they did an interview.
Oh, wow. So all this is this earthen right here?
Or yes, all this is the earth bag, so you can see how thick the walls are.
Yeah.
Wow. So, okay. Yes. So the bag's just filled with dirt. Finish yet? There's things that we haven't finished, but it's like learning. You never finish.
Right.
You know, you just
forever learning.
Yeah,
you just always. I want to sample
the glasses. Oh, that yeah, the glasses.
Okay, the glasses are like
yeah,
clean.
Yeah, it looks like it could be a glass, yeah.
Yeah, we tried to take advantage of the light. So because we're on solar, we don't have a lot of power.
Right.
So we have to take advantage of the light.
Look, I love this stone right here. The granite car tops.
And then when I decided to sell the house, they created a short video to promote that I was selling the house. And I'm going to tell you, that house, the house sold in like 7 days after they actually put the video out. Very quick. I'm actually still living in the house because it's part of the deal. The new owners are in the U.S. So they wanted somebody to stay in the house. So we did a deal where we reduced the price and I stay in the house for a couple years. So I still have another year left in the house, and I don't know if I'm going to stay here after that year or not. It just depends. We'll see where we go from here. But currently, you may see some blocks behind me. I guess you can see them in the camera over there. But there's blocks all over the yard now because the new owners, it's 5 acres here. And I built the house in the middle of nowhere. Purchased 5 acres, built a home, and so on the mountain. And so now the new owners want to put a 6-foot wall around the entire 5 acres to make sure nobody encroaches on the property. You know, they're not sure when they'll be moving here to Ghana, when they'll be relocating. But before then, they just don't want the headache because they say they dealt with the headache in the U.S. with somebody encroaching on a property that they brought in, that they purchased, and it was just going to cost some insane amount of money to try and even fight them in court about it. And so they had to just settle to take virtually nothing for the property that the people encroached on. And they just don't want to deal with that here. And you know here, they'll encroach on you very quickly here. Man, let me tell you, boy, you damn batter eye. They'll have something on your property encroaching on it. So you have to be vigilant about properties that you purchase here. And we'll eventually get into that. I just wanted to start, you know, but again, I was saying that I started the channel because ever since I made that video with John and Sophia, people have constantly been contacting me, and I've been reading comments on the video about, hey, you know, you need to start a channel just showing us how we can live off-grid in Ghana, or, you know, in Africa, because a lot of people now want to move to Africa, I understand, and they don't want to be in the city. You know, much like me, that was my thing. I didn't want to be in the city. I wanted to be out, and I wanted to live a lifestyle where I was taking care of myself. And even on when I made the video, people thought I was crazy. They said, you're in the middle of nowhere, and you're staying, there's no hospital, there's no this around you, there's no... Let me tell you, I'm about, if I walk down the mountain to the main street, it takes me about 20 minutes maybe. It's about a 20-minute walk because I'm going down a mountain, and I guess if I'm in the car, maybe get 5 minutes or so. But it's a little ways down. And there's no electricity up here in the mountains, so I'm all on solar. And, of course, I have a borehole dug, so I don't have to worry about utilities, but they're not up here on the mountain, I tell you that. And before I came, there was nothing here but trees and bushes, right? That's all that was here. So all this clear area you see now was just trees. And we cleared this area, 5 acres, and built the house here. And before doing that, people thought I was crazy. Even the locals here thought I was crazy. It's like, you gonna do what? Oh, Bruni. You know how they do it in Ghana. But, yeah, they think I'm crazy. Some of them still think I'm crazy, but now everybody loves the place. As soon as I put a road here, all the property around me began to sell. And even when I made the video saying that I was selling the house, and people said, well, why would anybody, he was making comments, why would anybody want to come live out there? It's so far out and it's this and that. I said, hell, look at New York. Do you think New York started off as New York? It started off as bushes. And now look at it. So you have to have a vision beyond that which you see. You have to have vision more so than just your eyesight. So many people, they say, have great eyesight but no vision. And there are those of us who are losing our eyesight but we have great vision. And so I just knew that this could be an area that developed. It would just blossom. I mean, you can see the scenery behind me. It's nothing but mountains. It looks like something straight out of the movies. So this is what I wake up to every morning. No cold weather. I mean, it gets a little cool. We're on the mountain, and I guess for Ghana, you could say it gets cool because we're right at the equator. So we ain't got no freezing weather or nothing like that, right? So you ain't got to worry about that. I have air conditioners in the rooms in the house, but I never use them, right? But one, it's an earth bag house, so it never gets hot in there. And if I'm scratching myself there, you have to understand, we're in a bush. And you have these tiny little gnats doing these tiny little, very tiny little biting flies that come out during certain times of the season when it's during the rainy season and bite. And that's one of the reasons we had to try and clear some of the trees away, and we had to try and make it so that it's not just all bush, because you have all these insects and you have snakes and everything that you have to control, right? So it has to be some kind of effort where there's a balance. It's not too much bush, but you don't just get rid of everything so that you don't have any trees and any bush left, right? You want a balance. So we're trying to create a balance, and so because you don't want those little bite flies and the snakes and everything, all the pests taking you away, so you have to control that. So that's what we tried to do, is create an environment. We've had to cut down a lot of the trees, and now we can go back and start growing fruit and vegetable, fruit trees, and planting gardens and things like that that you want. So anyway, my name is Eric McNeil, and this, again, is the Be Free Show. And one of the reasons why I say be free is because all too often when I hear politicians and experts and the pundits speaking, they're always talking about, oh, we need to keep people safe and we need to save people. And how do they want to do this? They want to take away your rights. They want to pass laws to force people to do things like wear masks and comply, take forced vaccinations, and all these things that eventually leave you with less freedom. And that's why I say, hey, I want to be free. You guys can worry about a corona, COVID-19 or whatever else, and you can turn to politicians to keep you safe. But I believe that the proper duty of these politicians and these representatives are to ensure that nobody infringes upon your rights. I want the politicians to uphold the Constitution of the United States. I want the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Don't try and protect me from some virus that, just boom, came out of nowhere. God will protect me from that through the systems that God has created. An immune system. All I have to do is take care of my immune system. I eat healthy, exercise, and boost my immune system naturally with natural herbs and eating the right things. And my immune system, it goes stronger to fight that kind of stuff. But when I give in to a politician passing a law to protect me, they can also pass that law to imprison me for no good reason and to harm me. So I liken it like this. When you are young in school, there's this school bully always running around terrorizing the other children. Now, as a parent, you have a couple options. You can either tell your child to run from the school bully, to avoid the school bully, and your child, if they take that advice, they're going to spend the rest of their time that year in class running from the school bully. Because the school bully is not going to stop until they want to stop. And, they just going to have children that run from them. Now, on the other hand, you can teach your child how to defend himself and how to defend herself. You can teach your child not to be afraid of the school bully. You can teach your child how to stand up to the school bully. In that way, when the school bully comes around, then the school bully is going to have a fight on their hands. And they're not going to likely want to be fighting your child every day. So they're going to back up off your child. And then your child can go to school without being intimidated and feeling scared. And being able to focus. Because when you go to school and you can't focus and you're nervous and scared, you can't do your work. You can't learn in that type of environment. So I see this whole COVID-19 like the school bully. And the government officials and the politicians are telling you, wear a mask and we need to do this and we need to practice social distancing. They're teaching you to be afraid and to live in fear and to run from this bully called the COVID-19. Instead of teaching you how to stand up to the bully by eating healthy and exercising and getting your body in order so you can fight against this so-called COVID-19. Oh, don't shake hands, don't hug, stay away from your loved ones. What kind of advice is that? Is that how you want to live the rest of your life? In fear? No, not me. Not me. Mm-mm. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to live my life in dignity and I'm going to live my life healthy and free. I think I hear a vehicle coming. They've been coming here. But anyway, this whole COVID-19 has everybody shaken. And it's a very sad situation that I see. So people ask me, well, Eric, why don't you do a YouTube channel? And every time I hear that, I'd be like,
political analysts say this may be too little, too late.
Hi, I'm with the Port Commission.
Yeah. I'm from the Athlete's Foot Bank.
Brother, hey, can you give my demo tape to somebody?
Anyway. Yeah, so these are my new neighbors. Yeah, that are coming up. And so they've just purchased land at the rear of the house here. And they have 3 acres. So this shows you how quickly things develop when people say, there's nobody living here. Well, they're coming. They're coming. So this is Raz Leo, who's coming now. And very good people. And there's other people that have purchased. People purchased on the other side of me. I believe he has 5 acres or something doing a mango farm. And an attorney that purchased a few acres. And so people are now building here. Greetings, greetings. How are you guys?
Yeah.
Hey.
Everything good. How are you?
I'm good though.
Nice one.
You come say hello. I'm doing some recording to make some YouTube videos. Everybody keeps asking me to do the YouTube videos and I've been delaying. So I say I will start. I promise. You know, when my friends came to do the recording of the house, people saw that and everybody's been reaching out to me telling me I should do videos to show them how to live off the grid.
Okay.
Yeah.
The idea that when you show them the video, that would open their eyes more.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
People think, in the bush, well, what's going on in the bush? And I show them that New York used to be a bush before it developed into a city. Everything used to be a bush. Mm. Accra was a bush. Mm. Medina was a bush. Mm. You know, now look at those places.
Yes, it's
totally, you know, they developed.
Yeah. Yeah. The rush will come. Once it's shown in the video, you see the rush.
Yeah. Before long, a few years, this won't be a bush anymore.
That's true. What are you saying? Which will be good and not good.
But there's a balance. You have to try and keep, you know, and you want to try and keep some degree of nature around you, you know, so that you're not just in the concrete forest, you know. Yeah, that's good.
That's true. That
because if there's too much development, then I have to go further out.
serious. Good video. So the video. I'd like to show them people in England too.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Oh, they don't know. Mm. They don't know. They want to come and go into the city and stay at the big hotels and that's not living to me.
No.
You know.
From here to city is not far.
Mm. Exactly. You can get to the city very easy from here.
That's what I like about it too, you know. It's not like you're out in country.
Right. If you want the country, boom, you just come right here.
Right here.
Then if you need to get to the city,
Yeah.
You know, you go have your fun, do whatever, and then you can get away when you want to get away.
That's the balance.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Right, you're right, this one.
We'll go
check and come back.
All right, very good.
Nice one.
We will talk.
Nice one, we talk. Yeah?
So, let's get back to where were we? Anyway, this is why I love being out here, because it's full of nature. It's full of nature, and I know, you know, people wanted me to make this YouTube channel, so now here I am making a YouTube channel, and I want to talk about why I moved specifically to Ghana. Why did I choose Ghana over other places? And I'm going to really do that in a part two, because I see that since we got distracted, I let the camera just roll with my new neighbors to show you that it's not just bush, you know, things grow and things develop. So all those people who were on YouTube saying, oh, it's too far out and it's this and it's that, there's nobody else around and it's, they'll come. Once I put this road in, people came and purchased all the land around me. Before that, the chiefs couldn't give the land away. It was sitting here and they couldn't sell it. And I had enough vision to come here and say, no, if we open this place up, people will come. And as soon as I put that road in, people came. People came and they purchased it. So, you have to be the one sometimes to lead the way. Stop waiting for people to give you something or bring you something. And do for yourself instead of waiting for others to do for you. And so, in part two, I'm going to really go into... what I'll do is just keep recording, and I'll just split this video up, because it's going to be a long video, I'm sure. So I'll just keep rolling. I'll keep rolling and just split the video. But I want to talk about why I specifically chose Ghana as opposed to another country or even somewhere else outside of Africa. And why did I even decide to leave the U.S. in the first place? So, in 2015, I had never been to Africa before in my life. And I had always studied Africa in college. I went to Florida A&M University in Tallahassee, Florida, FAMU, home of the Rattlers, sitting on the highest of 7 rolling hills in Tallahassee, Florida. Strike, strike, and strike again. Rattlers know what I'm talking about. It's one of the top 2 schools in the world. Florida A&M University. It's one of the top 2 best schools in the world. And you say, well, what's the other school? It's whatever one you choose. But I know that one of those top 2 schools is FAMU. I don't care what the other one you choose. Anyway, there used to be this bookstore very close to the campus, ran by 2 FAMU professors. And I used to hang out at that bookstore just hours at a time, just reading all about Black history and African American history and African culture. And so I had always had a desire to come to Africa and experience African culture and African living. And I had traveled to other countries, but never Africa. And most of the times, it was like when I was in the military. And so, of course, I've been to Europe. And then, on vacation, I had traveled to like small countries, the islands, but I never came to Africa. So in 2015, October 2015, I decided to take a trip to Africa and stay 30 days. 30 days solid. Because I was looking at, you know, potentially leaving the United States. And so, you know, one of the places was Brazil. A lot of people were going to Brazil. They said, hey, you should come to Brazil. I reached out to a few people in Brazil, and they invited me with open arms. Come on, let's talk. Let's talk about what we can do here and what I'm doing. And but the thing that got me with Brazil was, man, it's like, I ain't gonna learn no Portuguese. I'm getting too old for that shit. Now, if I had to learn a new language, that's fine. But I didn't really want to be learned, so Ghana stood out because it's known as the gateway to Africa. And a lot of their culture is similar to Western culture. It's about as close to Western culture as you can get in Africa. And so I was like, okay, that looks appealing. And the primary language is English. You got a lot of people speaking English, so I wouldn't necessarily have to learn a new language. So I like that. So I came here, stayed 30 days down in the Labadi area. And each day, well, maybe every few days, I would go down, walk down to Osu, and go to the smoothie shop, hang out at the smoothie shop, and across from the smoothie shop, there was this open bar. I'd go over there sometimes, have a drink with some of the women around that I was meeting there. And man, we would have a good time. There's one, I guess maybe my last week in Ghana, I met this one young lady and we hung out. The first night we hung out, her brother came, make sure I wasn't some axe murderer, and hung out with us, and we went down into Osu. And I remember her asking me that I want to dance. There was a song that came on. I just fell in love with that song immediately, and she asked me I want to dance. I said, yeah, let's dance. I like that. And she said she actually knew the guys that she had went to school, I believe with maybe one of them or more of them, but the group is called Dabble. Very underrated, but great group. They have this song called Good Mood. And I don't sing, but I'm going to try and hum, you know, sing a little tune for you. It's like, I'm in a mood to do you some real good. I'm in the mood to do you some real good. I was like, man, I like that. And I just fell in love with that song. Boy, I've been playing that song ever since. And that song just made me feel some kind of way about Ghana. I just fell in love with Ghana. The women were beautiful. The environment was peaceful. It's like, man, I can actually see myself living in Ghana. With all the don't get me wrong, there's problems galore. And on some episodes, we'll talk about some of those problems. I'll tell you about the things that I dislike. But all in all, there's more good than there's bad. You know, so the good outweighs the bad by a long shot. Let me tell you, they say in Ghana, buddy. So I decided that I would move here. And when I got back to the U.S., my family and I, we had a Christmas gathering. So I came here in October of 2018. I guess I returned in November. A month later, we had our family gathering. I was living in Georgia. I had been living in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, for about 20 years. And I'm originally from Alabama. So I traveled down to Alabama to be with family, and I'm from a large family. You know, I'm the youngest of 9 children. So most of us gathered, and I told them I had an announcement that year for them to share some information with, and I did a whole presentation that year about where I thought the U.S. was heading and why I felt the need to leave and where I was going. And I told them that here's why I'm leaving the U.S. That the U.S. is in debt. Almost $20 trillion at that time. It's like it's knocking $20 trillion. That's almost as much as the annual GDP of the U.S. I said, there's no way the U.S. is going to be able to pay all that money back. No, 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 it ain't going to happen. So what do countries do when they get in that kind of debt? They go into war. They take away the rights of their people, keep them from leaving. I said, all kind of very horrible consequences come out of that type of debt. And I say, I see that coming to the U.S. soon. That U.S. will go in some kind of war, that the people will have their rights taken away, go under martial law. I say, all kind of terrible systems I see coming out of this. Nothing good I can ever see coming out of this. So I say, I'm going to leave before it happens. I say, don't get me wrong, I think this is coming to the world. I say, I think the world is going into chaos. It's, well, if you believe the entire world is going into chaos, then why are you leaving? If it's going to hit the world, and why you want to leave to Africa? Out of all places. I said, well, let me explain it. I see the world as a large, great big building, a skyscraper. I say, now, during the times when everything is good, everybody wants to live at the top of the skyscraper. They pay double or triple to be at the top. They want to be in the penthouse, as they call it. But when the fire breaks out, everybody in the penthouse want to be at the bottom floor, period. They don't want to be at the top no more. I say, so I believe that the fire has broken out, and it's just a matter of time before it blazes up. So who's at the penthouse? If the world is the skyscraper, who's at the penthouse? United States, Canada, Germany, UK, the Western world. You guys are at the top. And when the fire blazes up, you're going to want to be at the bottom. Who's at the bottom now? The developing world, which includes the countries of Africa. and why are you guys at the top? I said, well, if you think about how the systems work in the U.S., everything is centralized. So when there's some type of chaos or problems, you have just a handful of companies that control everything. And when those handful of companies either don't deliver or cannot deliver, then you're in trouble. Let's take, for instance, the entire food chain, your logistics of getting you food. You living in New York, and your food has to be shipped from California, from Texas. You can't go to your neighbor and ask your neighbor for a stalk of corn. They ain't growing no corn. You can't go to your neighbor and ask them for some potatoes. They ain't growing no potatoes. You got to go to the grocery store. And with all these just-in-time systems where the trucks deliver the food just in time and the grocery stores don't have but 1 or 2 weeks worth of food available in the store, and the only way they can get you food is they had to be shipped across country. What happens when those trucks stop rolling? And you're not growing food. Everything is dependent on those companies delivering to you. That's centralization. And that's the danger that you guys face right now. That I don't face in Africa. Because right now, even though Africa has, Ghana has these large stores, you go in those stores and they, many times they're empty. Because the average person is not shopping at a Shop and Save grocery store. The average person is growing their own food and they're depending on buying from their neighbors who are also growing food. And they go to all of these little open air markets and the people are self-sufficient. And in the United States, they don't even do that anymore. If you grow your own food, they think you crazy. You rear your own cattle, they laughing at you. And that's how we were taught coming up. That our uncles and parents used to have pigs and cattle and grow gardens. But as we got older, we began to turn our backs on that and laughing at people who were doing it. And we see somebody with a cow and we laugh at him. Man, his dad bought a cow in the backyard. Like, man, and dude got a cow over there. So we laughing. But those people had the right idea. Because come hard time, they're the only ones eating. They eating good. And you starving, licking your lips, getting ready to eat one another. And they depending, eating on those cattle that they've been reared, eating the chickens that they've been reared, eating the pigs that they've been reared. And they don't have to worry about all them chemicals in their food. You around here eating chicken that grow this big overnight by pumping chemicals in it. And so you have the women eating all these chemicals and they have beard and more facial hair than the men because they eating all these chemicals in the food. So, but it's insane. The lifestyle that we've been taught to live and give up our freedoms. There's three cornerstones that you need for survival. Food, shelter, and clothing. You need that. And when you can't supply any of those things, you're enslaved. You can't supply your food. You can't supply your shelter. And you can't supply your clothing. That's not good. That's not good. So if you look at our lifestyles in the U.S., we don't supply anything, you know. They teach us to go work on a job and work for this little piece of paper that has really no true value. It only has value because we believe it has value. And when that comes falling down, all of the things that we really need for survival, we can't supply those things. We can't supply our own food, can't supply our own clothing, can't supply our own shelter. So it means we're in trouble. We're in trouble as a people. And this is what I see coming to the U.S., that as a people, United States citizens are in trouble. Now, a lot of people, when they come to Africa, they left because they just want to get away from the white man. They want to get away. That is the least of my concern. I live with anybody. And just getting away from a white man, at the end of the day, ain't running nothing in the U.S., truth be told. But that's another story. I'll tell you this, is that I don't have any grudges against the white man, right? I don't get caught up with all that anger about, oh, white versus black. That's something the elites have created for us to be concerned about. I'm not on this whole Black Lives Matter bandwagon in the least bit. I believe, yeah, Black Lives Matter, but this organization fronting as some kind of savior for black people. Hey, you go to their website and read their mission statements and that, you see that the last thing that they're concerned about is black people. So you're being duped. You're being duped all the way around. Black people don't even run that organization. They may front it, yeah, like they do a lot of other things. They put you out front. But at the end of the day, you're not running anything. You're not the organizers of it. You're not behind it. So you just out there as, you know, kind of a puppet. And so anyway, I decided to get out of that environment, not because of some white people, and because the white people are going under the same oppressive system as black people, right? You think about white people, they've been able to avoid a lot of the hardship that we weren't able to avoid because they had better systems in place. But it's just like picking fruit off a tree. You pick the lowest fruit. Black people just lowest hanging fruit and is able to pick them first. But eventually all the fruit's gonna be picked, and that fruit also includes white people. Eventually white people gonna get the same treatment that you getting. It's just a matter of time. All of you will be picked eventually. All of you will come off that tree. America will be destroyed. You can best believe that. It may not be destroyed like overnight, and it may not disappear. But as we know America, this great empire, it won't exist forever. Like if you look at Britain, the UK, it's a British empire. That's what it used to be, a British empire. And it used to say the British Empire was so large the sun never set on it. But today, it's just a little bitty, teeny island state. It's not really the great empire all over the world that the sun never sets on. So it didn't just disappear, but it's not the British Empire anymore, I can tell you that. And it lost its world reserve currency status to the United States. So the United States, it ain't may not just disappear overnight, but it won't be this great American empire, and it's going to eventually lose its world reserve currency status. And as it's going through these changes of decreasing in size, there's going to be a lot of terrible things to happen. And I just didn't want to be a part of that fallout, because I see it coming. And I wanted to get out of the penthouse, go to the bottom. I mean, if you take a look at how Ghana operates in being distributed, nothing is centralized. The power systems can go off in Ghana for days at a time, but nobody seeks to kill each other. Now, can you imagine if the power went off in, let's say, New York for a week? What would happen in these during these times? I mean, you have a situation in America now where you have racial tension that's being promoted by the mainstream media to create this race war. They've been doing this for decades. But now it's finally just boiling over. So it looks like they might get what they want because they're trying hard. So they're trying to create the race war. Then they got this COVID-19 spread. Now, I told my family and friends that if I was them, before it gets cold again, I would make some serious preparations with canned goods and living, self-sufficient living. Because when it gets cold again in the U.S., now that they got everybody on edge and they've been able to get laws passed, then it gets cold again and there's a stronger form of COVID-19 released into the environment and it really begins to affect people. That's all you need is that. You need, and you have the racial tension that's boiling over. And because you have going 20, 30 degrees below zero weather, well, just take the power grids down on them. Like, Bob, that's all we need. Just take them power grids down. Now you have COVID-19, you have racial tension, and you have no power. And because you have no power, then that means the logistics stop running properly. Trucks stop running properly. Can't deliver groceries. Can't deliver the produce. Now you have a problem. You have a serious problem on your hands. COVID-19, racial tensions, freezing weather, no power, no food. Buddy, I don't want to be involved in that. I don't want to be nowhere near that. That's a powder keg waiting to go off in the U.S. That's a real live powder keg. And those people, those politicians, the celebrities who are promoting this type of activity that, the black people, Black Lives Matter, and this and that, and telling you, they're setting you up. They're setting you up. They're not going to be, trust this, when it goes down, they're not going to be above ground with you. See, Bill Gates and his buddies and friends and the billionaires and millionaires and the high celebrity politicians and the famous celebrities, they got underground bunkers. They're gonna be out of your way. Let you destroy one another while they're down 100 feet below ground somewhere, 50 feet below ground somewhere, popping bottles, drinking champagne, eating caviar, laughing at you. I wonder what, let's turn on the news. Let's turn on CNN and Fox and see what they're talking. CNN and Fox convincing you to kill each other. Beyonce ain't gonna be up here with y'all. Jay-Z ain't gonna be up here with y'all. There's nobody. No, I don't think so. I tell you what Beyonce will do is after it's over with, she'll come back up from her underground bunker and she'll give you a free concert after 100 million people been killed and that's what she'll do. But right now they're setting you up. If you've ever studied predictive programming, you know how when they show these movies they're trying to show you what they're planning. A lot of these movies is things that are being planned. And so, think about the movie The Purge. Yeah, think about that movie. Now, I didn't watch the movie, but I know the whole plot and the twists and what they're talking about. So I know some of you have actually watched the movie, so you know that what you see going on in society today is them leading up to the purge. They're leading up for you to purge each other, my friends. Can you not see that? So when it goes down, Beyonce ain't gonna be up here doing no purge. But like I say, she'll come back up here, get you a free concert, and she'll sing a dirge to the purge, and that's about as far as it's gonna go. And you're the one gonna suffer the losses, your family, your friends, and all because of why? Because the elites who control society have set you up. And they've gotten you distracted on something. It's like you on a ship. And there's somebody telling you you should be angry on the ship because you're the room that you got on the ship has a double-sized bed, and and everybody else's bed is a queen size. So you run into the captain, I got that, y'all gave me a double-sized bed and it should be a queen size. And the captain says, listen, sir, right now the whole ship is under danger of sinking. We can't really facilitate your needs right now. And then there's somebody who keeps talking in your ear, and that same somebody is the one who's trying to sink the whole ship, but they keep telling you, you ought to be disturbed by what they're doing. You ought to be disturbed by not having that queen-size bed. You ought to go and ask them this. Why? Because they're trying to create a situation where it's nothing but chaos so that they can eventually sink the ship. And you're not getting it. And you keep worrying about the size of your bed and not listening to the captain saying, this whole ship is on the verge of sinking. Sir, we can't really facilitate you. Y'all ignoring me. No queen size bed. No ship. No queen size bed. No ship. Like, now you getting behind them. We gonna sink this. We gonna sink this mug. Let's sink the whole ship. If I can't get that queen size bed, I'm gonna sink the whole damn ship. And that's how black people are now. That's how they going around getting having somebody who cares nothing about them, nothing about your success and your longevity in the U.S. and anything else, but they just want you to use you for their own selfish agenda, right? And that's what I see. So that's why I decided to leave the U.S. It was to get away from a system of chaos and tyranny where people no longer care about freedom and their constitutional rights, right? I care about my right to bear arms. I care about my right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I care about improper searches and seizures. I care about the right to due process. I care about a right to trial by jury, right? I care about constitutional rights. You don't have to give me all this welfare. You don't have to give me these social programs. You don't have to give me, I don't need to be taken care of like some stepchild. What I want is to be left alone so that I can develop and grow and progress. But we moved in such a way where we're looking toward the government to take care of us. And when people take care of us, then quite naturally, they take our rights and our freedoms away. Right? Nobody's going to take care of you. I mean, think about your child. Your child who needs you to take care of them. Well, your child has no rights. They have the right to listen to you. When you say go to bed, the child needs to go to bed. When you say get up, the child needs to get up. Because everything that the child does depends on you. And so you tell the child what to do. So when black people put themselves in a position where they're dependent on the government for everything, then the government is the parent. And when the government tells you to get off the street, you need to get off the street. The government tells you you need to do this and you need to go down there and do that and do these things, then you have no choice but to listen, because you put yourself in a position where you're dependent on the government. And that's how it is. That reminds me of a story about the seagulls off the coast of Miami, Florida. Many years ago, before the fishing industry came to Miami, I was told that the seagulls used to fly out miles away from the coast to eat. And they'd fly back every day, miles away. And that's what they had known. That's how they developed for millions of years. And that's all they've known. But when the fishing industry came, the fishermen would go out to sea, fish come back, and they'd start dumping all of the waste right off the coast. And so now you had the coast littered with all this fish and shrimp waste. And so instead of the seagulls flying out to the sea, they just start eating the waste. Didn't have to fly out. All the coast littered with seagulls eating the waste. And then for many years, or after many years, the fishing industry began to leave Miami in that area because of laws and all types of things, less fish. And as they began to leave and the coast began to clear up from all of the litter, there was no more litter there to eat, the seagulls began to die because they didn't have enough to eat. When all they had to do was fly a few miles off the coast and there was plenty of fish for them to eat, they began to die because they didn't have the waste to eat anymore. And so can you imagine the conversation that went on in the seagull community when the old seagulls say, well, we don't have enough to eat here, but the way we used to do it is fly 3 miles out and we used to feed and then we'd fly 3 miles back. And that's how we ate. And the young seagulls probably looked at the old seagulls and said, nigga, please, you think I'm gonna fly out 3 miles just to get a goddamn fish? They better bring me my fish back right here. They better bring me my stud right here, because I am not gonna fly no 3 miles out just to eat no fish and come back. No, not me, not the kid. I ain't gonna do it today. They better come up with some kind of program for us so we can get ours. They ain't flying out that far. They want us to fly out that far. Oh man, you better go sit down. That ain't happening today. No shiggity, no shaggity. Yeah? That's the young people attitude. The old seagull probably like, hey, that's how you do it. You know, I'm going to fly out and get me something to eat. Y'all can sit here and starve to death because the only thing you really eating is trash anyway. Not going to depend on this welfare system anymore. We're going to fly out, me and mine. Well, you take your ass on out there because I'm going to sit around and I'm going to wait for them to bring me something. If not, ain't going to be no... Ain't gonna be no peace here unless they bring ours. Ain't gonna be no peace. And that's how you sound, like them seagulls. So you have to make a decision on what you want. You're gonna depend on your own efforts and your own self and stop depending on these various systems to hold you over and use your own efforts to get through. Anyway, this video has went way too long, I know, but There's going to be some interesting topics of this conversation and discussion. What I'm going to do is, a lot of people have asked me about the house. I'm going to try and go through this entire house and to show you every system we put in it and the different costs on things and how we built the house and how we found the land and just all the various components of how I started this entire project. It's been a very, very tedious process. I built a house in the U.S. that was probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 times larger than this house. And it was not as difficult in building that house in the U.S. as it was building this much smaller house in the bushes of Africa, because you just don't have the same resources and the same systems and the same skill sets that you have in the U.S. Like, you just can't run to a Lowe's, Office, Home Depot, and, you know, have them and do quotes, extensive quotes for you. Here is kind of you find craftsmen, you pay as you go, it's trial and error. You have to be worried about people running off with your money, and if they happen to run off with your money, there's really no systems to try and, you know, there's no small claims court. Everything is much more complicated here when you're working here. So I'm going to go through all of that and how to find the land, how to make sure you don't get taken, because although I was able to accomplish it, I had many problems and issues, and I got duped a little bit. You know, I didn't get duped enough where they just took all my money, but everything didn't go smooth. You know, you might see a finished product, but it wasn't, a extremely smooth process. And I got to tell people, you may be smart in your own country, but when you come into somebody else's country and they know the systems and they've been working the systems for a long time, they know how to get you. And, you know, fortunately for me, I had the builder, who's also U.S., from the U.S., and actually went to the same school that I went to, FAMU, to help guide me and, and help deliver this finished product. Now, you know, had it not been for Brandon of Migrating Culture, who's the builder that I'm talking about, then things would never have went as smoothly with this project as it did. So you have to have somebody who knows the ropes and knows what they're doing. You can come here and say, oh, I'm just going to go to Africa and I'm going to build this and I'm going to do this all by myself, and you're going to crash and burn. And almost guaranteeably, you're going to crash and burn. So anyway, we're going to be going through that through this channel. We'll be talking about some various business things, because I'm an entrepreneur. That's what I do. I build businesses and, and I support myself online. And so people often want to know, if I come there, how can I support myself? You probably have to do it online. That's the best way. Otherwise, you can be selling something on the side of the street with a basket on your head. You know, there's not a lot of ways. And, you're not going to have a corporate job, I can tell you that, right? 80% of the people, you know, are selling things on the side of the road and in the market and things like that. This is not a place where you're just going to have a corporate job. And the few corporate jobs that are here are not open to you, buddy, unless you get them outside of here. You're not going to come here and get one. You best believe that. Okay? So we're going to talk about all of that. We're going to go through all of that. And if you like what you hear, hit the subscribe button. You know, help me out. And let's make this channel worthwhile. Don't just have me doing this for my health, because I can do a lot of other things for my health. So, okay? It's been great talking to you. And peace.
Ocean, release the beats.
Empire Records. Oh, Nandi. My bunch of my bro, but I'm finding some of them, but many I know. Then you need a boom. My bunch of my bro, but I'm. Say, Homer, me change your brain.
I'm in the mood to do you some real good. In the mood to do you some real good. Yes, I'm in the mood to do you some real good. In the mood to do you some real good, my sexy lady.